past Christmas vacation, a number of people were gathered in one's living room discussing, as they were wont, theology. One person raised the point that the problem with a great deal of contemporary theology is that it is really a theology of doubt. That's why what is done to the scriptures frequently leaves people without much hope and consolation and comfort. And as this discussion was going on, the Messiah was being played on a stereo in the background, and Hallelujah came out. And as the great themes of that chorus became more and more pronounced, the discussion quieted and finally hushed. And the chorus went through its great exclamation. For the Lord God, omnipotent reigner, King of kings and Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Finally, the chorus ended. All you heard was silence, and one voice that said, maybe. Well, probably more than all the theological lectures that you've ever heard, that voice made the point. A theology of doubt would have to say, maybe. And the psalm for today says, the Lord reigns. That the Lord reigns has been a theme of Advent, Christmas, and our Epiphany, and indeed it will be picked up in Lent and Easter and Pentecost. When the angel came to Nazareth and announced the coming birth of the Lord, the angel said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. When the Magi came from the east, they went to Jerusalem and asked, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Herod, not being up on his theology as he ought to, called in the experts. And they said, well, it's written in Micah. In Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth he who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from ancient days. The Lord reigns. That is the emphatic declaration of the psalm normally associated with Christmas and Epiphany. The Lord reigns. And to reign means that he is in control and in command. He is not some kind of constitutional monarch who must have all of his decrees prepared by another so that he may read them. He is in control. He is not like the idols round about Israel, frequently the object of the taunt of the prophet. He is not a statue that needed to be vested by beautiful priests and then carried around by bearers so that his presence might bless the people. The prophet delighted in exposing the folly of idolatry, that somebody would cut down a tree and cut it in half, and with one half he would make a fire so that he could warm himself and cook his food, and with the other half he would carve a statue, stand it up, and bow down. Or in the great confrontation between the prophet of the Lord and the prophet of Baal, he does not get a smile as he reads. Perhaps he ought to call louder. Maybe your God is sleeping and he cannot hear you. Our God is not like that. The Lord reigns. He is not vested in a majestic robe, but he is robed in majesty. He is girded with strength. He is from everlasting. His days have no end. And if Israel should listen to the waves and roaring of the sea and be great greatly troubled and terrified, they nevertheless remembered, mightier than the floods and mightier than the thunder of the sea, the Lord is mighty. And yet this picture is not designed to bring forth sorrow and dread. Of course, it is a dreadful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of an angry God. But it doesn't say God reigns, the terrifying judge, but it says the Lord reigns, the God who makes covenant with his people, the God who delivers from Egypt and brings into the land of promise. And the God who is set before his own the promise of a Savior and a Redeemer. And as we heard in the lesson, this is the King who comes for his people, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for whom and through whom everything came into existence, and by whom everything has its breath. He is the one who comes to reign in grace. As our Lord reminded Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Lord who reigns and who is robed in majesty laid aside his glory and took the form of a servant. The eternal God died. The sinless one for sinners. The cross becomes a throne and a cemetery, a place of victory. The Lord reigns. And he continues to reign in grace in your heart and mine, in your life and mine. For he reigns in his word of forgiveness and life, in gospel and sacrament. He comes with his power of forgiveness, of comfort and consolation. He has not abdicated, and he is not on an extended tour, but he rules majestically, mightily, powerfully, so that in him we might have life and salvation. The Lord reigns, not maybe, but most assuredly. And that gives us comfort and consolation for faith and life. And that gives us courage and conviction to go to the ends of the earth with the good news that in Jesus Christ God has brought redemption to his people, the forgiveness of sins, and has made peace by the blood of his cross. The Lord reigns. He does indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.